Avon Park Camp, Friday, 31st of December, 2004, Friday night service. Our preacher tonight is Reverend Gloria Files.
Behind it. And I've listened to many, many of them. We've been a privileged people to hear from these great individuals, missionaries, ministers, college presidents, seminar presidents, or seminary presidents, many others who have been in this pulpit. I come to you tonight with a message. I'm not going to do what Brother Brown did. I had a nice message all fixed up for the old going out, the new coming in, and the Lord put it on the shelf. And I've learned a long time ago, when God shelves it, forget it. And I forgot it. But it's so good to be here with you, to be here on the campground. It's a good place to live in case you don't live here all the time. I remember one time I was in Arkansas preaching. Individual, he was one of the great holiness ministers of that area, a scholar. In fact, he would teach holiness every week. He had a great class of pastors from all over that area who would come in, and he would lead them deeper into the messages of holiness and the scriptures. And so I looked and saw him come in, and that's one time I nearly wilted. So I apologized in the pulpit, and I offered the pulpit to him, and he shook his head no. And so I went on and preached, and that after the service was over, he came up front hurriedly and put his finger under my nose and said, "Young lady, don't you ever apologize again for a message God gives you." And you know what? I haven't since. And that is true. When God gives a message, it's God's message, not yours. And so tonight, I want to speak on the subject, and a book that you wouldn't even dream of me preaching from. When one year is rolling out and the other is rolling in. But it's found in the book of Ezekiel. And I'm not referring to you as such. But in that 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, if you would like to turn with me, I begin to read in verse 1, Ezekiel 37. It's 879 to make it easier. I know you'll never find it there. "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones." Now, isn't this a good message for 2005? "And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very, very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest." In other words, he was saying, "Why ask me, your God, can they live?" "And he said unto me, Prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, this is thy precious word, and it is placed before you just now. And we ask in the name of Jesus that thy holy touch will rest upon it and rest upon us as the speaker to this wonderful congregation of people. Guide us and direct us into all truths, and make us better people, richer people, deeper in the things of God, willing to be what God would have us to be, and do what He wants us to do, as we do come into a new year. In Thy name we ask it. Amen. What a place to be seated. It said, God set him in the midst of a valley of bones. The hand of the Lord at this time was very evident on this man called Ezekiel. He was carried by the Spirit of the Lord and set in the valley, which was, as he said, full of bones. That must have been a tremendous time for Ezekiel. And he received at that point heavenly orders. Prophesy, God had said to him. In other words, preach. Say, all ye dry bones, hear the word. Hear the word of the Lord. They were dry through their own consent. They were in this place through their own consent. This was the whole house of Israel. And this is what God looked upon when He looked into this valley upon His own people. They were very dry, yes. But God had a plan. You know, when God sets up a plan, things begin to happen. And He had a plan for this people. From the time they left Egypt, God had something very special and specific for them. Now I think of that in an individual life. God has a plan. But we have to be willing to be obedient to God and to walk in the plan that He has laid out. But at this time, God had a plan to get them back on their spiritual feet once more. And ready, He wanted them to be ready to operate, be ready to do something, ready to function. As Ezekiel saw the valley of dry bones, it was a valley of spiritual death, God saw something else in that picture, and He was using Ezekiel to bring them out. God saw an exceeding great army. When I look and I think of this scripture, I think of how the Holy Spirit works so many times among His people to advance the kingdom, but He has to make those preparations in and through us to see these wonderful things brought about and accomplished. God wanted His soldiers in combat fitness. For there is a war going on. I think if ever we have recognized the fact of the war that is going on against the things of God in our own nation. I think we saw that through the election. I think we have seen that down through the years through television and through new laws, through things that are going into our schools. All of these things are being done against the things of God and trying to eliminate God, to wipe Him out of everything. But let me tell you, He's still God. And we might have a valley of dry bones, but we still have a God who's expecting His people to rise up and become an exceeding great army. Sing, fight the good fight of faith. Or we sing with our heads back, onward Christian soldiers, and we slump back down in the seat and we do nothing about it. We don't really know what soldiers do. We don't really know how they live. We don't really know the responsibilities that rest upon them and the sacrifices that they have to make to be the kind of soldiers they are, to accomplish something. But God needs that kind of soldiers in His encampments. He needs people who are willing to be what He wants them to be, not what they think. think they can be or they want to be, but God knows what you can be. And it's surprising what can happen when God gets a hold of our heart. Multitudes are lying around in visionless valleys, dead spiritually, even in the church world, just shadows of what God wants them to be, not really performing this in the spiritual way that He would have them. Many churches are filled with deadness, haunted by a lot of corpse. They come to church, but that's about the end of it. You can hear spooky saints as they quietly move about. They want no emotions whatsoever. We want to keep everything subdued and quiet. But all that isn't what God wanted here. We see it as we continue into this lesson. We see a lot more than just quiet little spooks running around. We see many, many wonderful things happening. And here we find, as the bones, he said, were very dry. Depression had set in. They felt desolate. They had forgotten the God who had said to them, I will cause breath to breathe on you. They forgot about the breath of God that breathes upon us. And I wonder sometimes, as Christians, if we haven't forgotten about the breath of God that breathes upon us. I will cause it to enter into you. And when He comes, He says, you will live. God makes us alive. Inviting an individual to church one time. The houses were real close together, and he came in his house, and I was coming out where Dot and I were staying. I invited him to revival. He said, well, he said, I'm so busy, I don't have time to really come. And he said, you know, I go to church every Sunday morning. And he said, but it's getting sort of boring. He said, every Sunday we go through the first 9 pages. We just read them off. And he said, and have a little sermonette, and then we go home. I said, well, tell you the truth, that's all I ever got out of church. I think I'd just sit up in bed, read the first 9 pages, and go back to sleep again. That's about what you may get out of it anyhow. It's more than that. Oh, we want to keep it subdued. Don't you know that we are a liturgical church and we keep everything down and we do this and we do that? No breath of God is breathing is the problem. No spiritual movement nor actions. So, oh, I don't like that. I just can't stand emotionalism. Well, call the undertaker. Funerals, and they just don't move either. And if they did, I'd be the first one out. Someone said numbers. Oh, we've got to have numbers. Well, you just look at many of the television programs and you see numbers. Thousands of people, throngs of people going to the house of God. They seem to be growing in this respect. But you don't see any results in the spiritual world. You don't see those. To me, when a group that great would hit the streets and go back to the marketplaces and go back to the workplaces, that something would begin to happen. The reason I believe that, I've been a home mission worker. We've helped organize 20-some churches. And we would go into a community that had no church. We would go into an area that needed God. We'd knock on doors and talk to the people and pray with the people and invite them to come. We didn't go in there to take them from their denomination, take them from their churches. There are already multitudes out there that don't go anywhere And we were after people just like that. Many, many times, great results would come. We'd have a big tent somewhere, and we'd set that tent up, and God would move upon the hearts of the people. They would begin to come, and the first thing you know, in a year or so, we'd have a church building going up, and people coming, a pastor being appointed. Oh, it's thrilling, and it would be only a few of us there to go out and hit those streets and reach those hearts. But you know, if that throng that I see up there in those balconies, every one of them would go out and testify even to one person in that town they live in, something would happen. There's activity where God is. There's emotions where God is. There's something that, there's life. I like life in the things of God. He's a living God. I thought of those people over there and this tragedy that struck. They're bowing before on their knees, and I heard them praying to Allah. So sad. Shintoism, Buddhism. I haven't yet. I know maybe you have. I haven't heard one of them say, God, our God. But all of these other gods, these gods that can't hear. Oh, we have so much to do in this world of ours. We have so many people who don't even have the least idea who our God really is. God was blessing their church, and lots of people were coming, and they had many things planned, and they were working hard to fill it. They had a church for every age, and he was driving one day past a graveyard, and he said, I happened to notice that it was filling up too. That graveyard was becoming filled to capacity, and he said, as he said to himself, my, is that what we're doing at our church? We're building and we're building and we're getting more people. But are we building a graveyard? Or are we building a church alive for Jesus Christ? Giving our people lots of things to do. I never saw so many things that people do in the churches today besides pray. Besides revival. I was in revival. 44 years of revivals, and seeing many, many wonderful things happening. Souls brought to Jesus Christ, altars lined, front platforms lined, souls at the front seats, and seeing them crying out for God to have mercy, and you can't hardly drag anyone there anymore. Something's wrong. Something is wrong. There's something that has caused this dead spirit to fall upon the people of the church world. We've forgotten that He's a God who said, I will breathe upon you and you shall live. Go to church, believe the Bible. Little for Christ. So little for Christ. Suddenly, you see them drifting away. Well, they didn't do things that I really like. I have a niece that she's a beautiful Christian. And she has a little girl that is also a beautiful Christian. And she said, Gloria, I'll give anything if my little girl could go to church and worship like we one time did. The old hymns of the church, the preaching, the souls at the altar. She said, I go home every Sunday with a migraine. I said, what happened, Penny? She said, they beat those drums so loud and so long, and they yell and they scream, and they hoop and they yell, but they don't do anything for the Lord. They don't, when the pastor calls and says, We need to do this and we need to go here and we need to help here. As far as winning souls, they aren't there. There's something wrong with that. Oh, I guess I'm too old-fashioned. I don't belong in the pulpit anymore. But I believe that I have a God who says, I will breathe on you and you shall have life when He comes. All of these other things to me are incidentals, and that's not what brings the presence of God. The presence of God comes when the saints of God are on their knees before Him, pouring their heart and soul out to Him, and He moves in on the service. And the pastor many times can't even that time to preach, and souls begin to get up out of the seats and move to the altar, and tears are there of repentance, and people are getting sanctified, holy. Listen, friend, this is old-fashioned, but it works. Claim to be Christian. Believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Go to church, but yet haven't won one soul to Jesus Christ. Greater joy in the world than winning a soul to Christ? There isn't a greater joy in the whole world. Just one time to cross the city of Buffalo, New York. Said, there's a man over there, he's an atheist. But you have to guard because his wife doesn't want you to talk about God to him. Well, don't call me if you want to eliminate God. Well, we drove over long ways across Buffalo, and we got there, and this was sitting so close by, she didn't want us to talk about anything but just pleasantries of the day and so forth. And so I decided I'm going to make a friend with this family. So we chatted and made a friend there. And that while we were there, she found a fellow that was only 104 years old, and he didn't have the Lord, so she was back in another room dealing with him. And so I talked and worked with this woman and her husband and made friends with them. And we had to leave to go to our service that night. And I said, how about us slipping by to see you again tomorrow night? That would be our only night to come. Oh, yes, yes, yes. So again, we trotted all that distance across Buffalo. And lo and behold, went to the home again. And we began to talk with him and talk to him, and he was lying on a couch, and as he was there, I said, after a long time we talked, I said, could I read the scripture to you? Would you mind if I just read a little portion of God's word? He said, no, I don't mind. So I went to the book of Revelation, and I began to read to him all about the description of heaven. He looked at me quickly and said, why, I never heard that. He said, nobody ever talked to me about heaven. Nobody ever did. They always talked about hell. He said, I didn't know that was there. I said, would you like to be prepared to go there? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, he said. And you know, it wasn't very long until that man was ready for heaven. He went to the hospital the next week. He died the next week. And before we left, I made a date with him. I'm still hanging on, but I made a date with him. But he said, I'll keep that date. I said, I'm going to meet you in heaven one day. And don't you forget it. Let's make that date. He said, all right. And when he was dying, he said to his wife, I want you to get word to those ladies and tell them I'm going to sit inside that gate until I see them coming through. Willing to win a soul to Jesus Christ, That is so thrilling. And the night I went to a home that was called out from a revival, a man dying with cancer. He looked like a skeleton, and he only had strength to just ask his mother for a cigarette. And I couldn't deal with him that night. He was too sick. He was writhing in agony and pain. I went home. I walked the floor all night and pled with God to give me that soul, give me that soul, give me that soul. And early in the morning, the phone rang. She said, "Would you hurry up to the house?" I haven't given him his medicine yet. I want you to talk with him. And he's calm. And I hurried to that house and began to pray with him. And he said, "Could I sing for you?" After he prayed, I said, "Oh, I'd love to hear you." And I never heard it before and didn't even have a tune. And he was saying, "He died of a broken heart for me. He died of a broken heart." And it was repetitive all the way through. And after a while, he said, "There's one thing I want to do before I die." He said, "I want to hear you preach." And I didn't know how he was going to do that. He was so weak and so sickly. The church doors open. Four men came in. And an oh yes, I looked. And there he was, sitting in an easy chair. And they carried him up the to the platform and set him at the end of the altar. And there he listened to that message. And he too went to heaven and was ready to meet his God. Have you won a soul to Jesus Christ? It's so beautiful. There isn't anything you can do in life that can match winning a soul. We have so many things that we plan to do, but we leave winning souls out. We leave them out completely. And it's not that hard to touch a life for Jesus Christ. I wish that you would learn to do. I know some who have gone here and gone there. Yes, and they have been soul winners for the Lord. They have been. But oh, what a thrill when you can be that one who leads them to Christ. Ezekiel preached. Yes, he preached how? The way God wanted him to preach. He preached the message God had directed him in. He didn't care what the trend of the day was. He went on and preached. He didn't care how many changes had been made. He preached the way God wanted him. And he began to say, "Lord, he said to breathe. Breathe upon these slain. Breathe upon these bones. Breathe upon them, Lord. Come from the east, the west, the north, the south, and breathe." And I thought, yes, when God breathes from the east, west, north, and south, he has them cornered then. And so here's a crowd of people that God breathed upon, and things began to happen. And it wasn't long until old Ezekiel began to hear some noise and some rattling going on. He looked and he saw some motion. When you begin to see that motion, when you begin to see things happen, that's when you begin to take on new courage. And here, then listen, you begin to gather on the bodies, and they begin to get muscles and strength, and they begin to move about. And suddenly, it says in the scripture, "Here I am. Here I am, Lord." They were saying that you might have life. That you might have life. How? Through the breath of God. And when everything else had happened to them and they stood upon their feet and they became beings alive, but yet they needed that breath. And that's what we need today in the church. The breath of God breathing upon the congregation. And when the breath of God breathes wholly upon a congregation, things will happen. Revivals will come. Souls will be brought into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And I believe that with all of my heart. Does he have everything for us? Yes, he has everything. These things all began in the book of Ezekiel. God with God and God's man. God is saying, I'm against dry, dusty, depressed, discouraged disciples. I want to see some life. We're coming into a camp meeting soon. Would fall upon Avon Park until we'd see people coming down those sidewalks, cars parking, the building so packed you can't get in hardly, souls at an altar for Jesus Christ. Can it happen? Yes, it can happen. Down to Avon Park, done a lot of visiting. And a lot of people need the Lord. A lot of families need God. A lot of boys and girls and young people need God. Breathe upon us. Breathe upon us. When God said to him, preach. Preach. First he says, all he said to the wind. Preach to the wind. Have to start somewhere. And say to the four winds, as we've already mentioned, that the breath of God would breathe in every direction and bring to them the Holy Spirit upon them. When the Spirit of God comes, things really happen. A number of years ago, I was with my sisters of the quartet of us. Revival. They didn't know us. We didn't know them. But they had seen our names somewhere and they called us. And we went into that church. They packed to the hilt. They brought every bench and every chair and everything they could find to seat people on. And I remember I was preaching one night and clear back in the left-hand corner was a guy. He was taller than anybody in the church. They were standing along the side. And he's standing there. And as I preached, I didn't know it at the time, but God was speaking. And I started that invitation. And when I did, I saw this fella start down the aisle. He was elbowing everybody as he came. He wanted through. He was trying to get by the people standing along the wall. And finally he got to that altar. And he began to pray. And he jumped up and he looked at me. And people were still coming and the invitation was still being given. He said, your God isn't big enough to help me. And about that time, I happened to know at that time some of the great saints of that church. And I motioned for different ones while I talked to him. And my finger was moving and these men were moving in. And they encircled this great big fella. And I said, would you try him one more time? Would you pray one more time? So he got back down on his knees. And that man began to pray. And those men surrounded him with prayer. And it wasn't long until he was the first man in orbit. He came up out of the circle. He came up out of the circle of those men praying. And was rejoicing. And yes, he was shouting. That is old fashioned. And found out he was the town drunk. I preached holiness. And who was the first one at the altar? He was the one. He was the first man at that altar. And he got up and he testified and he said, I thought tonight when she was preaching, if God has something good enough to keep me and help me keep what I got last night, I want it. I want it. That man was sanctified the second night. Beautiful. What God can do. When the breath of God breathes upon our hearts. I forgot to watch this. My watch is broken, I think. Gravy up here. I'm going to leave this little song with you. But somehow,
We used to sing it. So it was down on Boneyard Circuit. Did you see this one? There wasn't a way to shirk it. A preacher named Ezekiel was sent. He landed at the station and saw the situation. It was a valley full of bones, his audience. By way of a suggestion, the Lord asked him a question. Can these dry bones be raised up from the dead? The Spirit was beseeching, and Ezekiel went to preaching. And from the pulpit, this is what he said. Then it went on, the bones began to rattle like muskets in a battle. When Ezekiel took his text and started in, 'twas plain it didn't matter in spite of all the clatter, for Ezekiel kept right on a clubbing sin. The bones all came together in spite of stormy weather to hear the message from the Lord's right hand, and it made them sit and wonder to hear this son of thunder as from the pulpit issued this command. Then while Ezekiel rushed the trenches and he preached the word with all his might and main, it caused a big commotion while he with deep emotion said, breath of God, come breathe upon these slain. Isn't that the secret? Breathe upon these slain. And the wind was soon a-blowing, the bones were soon a-gone around the place as fast as they could run. And while Ezekiel was addressing, I thought when I was a kid it was addressing. And I wondered what he was addressing for. But it's addressing. When he was preaching, they got the second blessing. And now the real excitement has begun. Oh, ye old dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Stand upon your feet and his goodness repeat. Lay aside a dry profession. Get a Holy Ghost possession. You've been bleaching in the valley long enough. And what does God want? What did God want here? He wanted not a valley of bones. He wanted an exceeding great army. An exceeding great army. And I'm going to have us just sing a verse of Onward Christian Soldiers and try to make out of us an exceeding great army. And when the camp comes, that the presence of God will be so prominent in these services that the blessing of the Holy Spirit will rest upon us in His might and main. And we'll see many things happening here like we've never. Let's pray that we have a camp meeting like we never had before. Can God give one like? Yes, He has one all bundled up for us, all in readiness for us. And I believe it with all of my heart as we sing a verse of that song.
I'm a Christian soldier.